Well, in the past few all-age services, we have been looking at Jesus' encounters with women. And this week, we're going to look at the time Jesus healed the crippled woman on the Sabbath, Luke 13, verses 10 to 17. And once again, we're going to see Jesus butting heads with the Pharisees, this time the synagogue leader, after he heals a woman. So let's read the passage and explore it further. That's Luke 13, verses 10 to 17. One Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue. A woman there had an evil spirit that had made her ill for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out to her, "Woman, you are free from your illness." He placed his hands on her, and at once she straightened herself up and praised God. The official of the synagogue was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. So he spoke up and said to the people, "There are 6 days in which we should work, so come during those days and be healed, but not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, any one of you would untie your ox or your donkey from the stall and take it out to give it water on the Sabbath. Now here is a descendant of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound up for 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath?" His answer made his enemies ashamed of themselves, while the people rejoiced over all the wonderful things that he did. Wow. Crumbs. If I was a Pharisee, there's no way I'd go head to head with Jesus. He seems to win every time. So, this encounter occurs upon a Sabbath day. And it is this concept of the Sabbath that I want to focus on this morning. This passage is best explored from the three viewpoints of the protagonists of the story. Firstly, we have the crippled woman. Now, we don't know much about her. I guess she was somewhere between 25 to 45 years old. All we know, are told, is that she'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. For 18 years, she was bent over and unable to stand up. Imagine it. It's difficult to, isn't it, for most of us? Now, to help us facilitate our understanding of this, I need 3 volunteers. They need to be relatively young people because it involves some bending down. Personally, I'm not too keen on that anymore. It's a young man's game. But there is a prize for the winner. So I need 3 youngish people with a sort of a competitive edge. Not too young because there's a health and safety component here. Now, I can see people volunteering. A little bit older. No, you can come, actually. Yeah, because you'll probably show the grown-up old ones. But no, I need some more volunteers. Oh, you over there, lovely. You can come on up. I need one more. Ooh. Oh, let's have 2 more. Let's have 2 more. We don't need 3. We can have 4. Let's have 4. You, and you. Let's have lots. There we go. Let's break from the routine. There we go. Right. Now then, are we all ready? There's going to be a race. Okay. We're going to start from here. We might just need to edge that pram slightly. Is that all right, Richard? Sorry, I didn't tell you that. We're going to start from here. We're going to round here. A little action. We're going to go round. Hopefully, it's not a sleeping baby because it's covered in coats. Round here. Round the back. Disappear for a moment. Hello, here we go. Thank goodness it's a roving mic. There we go. And up the side here. And the end is going to be here, okay? So you think you can do that? Yeah? There's one catch, though. You see, the woman in the story was bent over. Who can hold their legs here? Hold their knees? There we go. That's how you're going to run. Like this, okay? So come to the starting line. There we go. Now, it's a Sunday, okay? And we're in God's house. So if you're going to cheat, make sure you do it when no one can see you. Okay? Okay. Now you need to cheer for them. So ready? No one fall over and hurt themselves, because then we'll have parental telling me off afterwards. Go! Go, go, go. Come on, kids. That's it. It's an early lead. It's an early lead. Here we go. We're coming to the home straight now. Don't trip anybody up. Oh, it's a winner! Well done. I love the commitment. I think Adam almost went head first into the step. Give him all a round of applause. Lovely. Right, I've got a prize. You all did so well. You can all have one. Parents, I'm sorry. I'm ruining their dinner. There we go. Now my son wishes to do this. Do you want a sweet? Percy Pigs. Unless you're allergic to Percy Pigs. In which case, see me afterwards and I'll find you something else. A piece of fruit or something horrible. There we go. There we go. There we go. There we go. Yeah, you won, so you can take the rest of the bag. There you go. Go, go, go. Well done. Right. So, that was a bit tough for them, wasn't it? It was more difficult when they were bent over double to run around. If you're bent over double like that, breathing becomes difficult. People with those sorts of conditions often have respiratory problems, complications, and they worsen over time. You get lots of joint pain. Again, all this worsens over time for these people. She'd been bent over for 18 years. And we also need to remember that the world this woman lived in was a very physical one. There were no office jobs, no teacher jobs, cushy numbers like that. just a dig at the rest of the all-age team. There was no mobility scooters. Every activity of daily life would have been impacted by her disability. Yet this woman still came to worship at the temple. Every day, her daily life would have been difficult, yet she still came to hear Jesus teach. What faith she must have had not to let it ground her down, not to become bitter. What devotion. In fact, she had faith enough that Jesus noticed her. Often when Jesus healed people, they came to him, whether sometimes passively being brought or asking themselves. Yet in this case, Jesus sought the woman out. I wonder what it was that singled her out from amongst the crowd. Her faith, perhaps. Jesus doesn't mention it. He doesn't say, your faith has healed you. He simply says, you are set free from your infirmity. What wonderful language to have used. You are set free. Jesus clearly understood the prison of this woman's everyday life. The crippled woman then was devoted. She was faithful. Despite all her hardships, she came to temple. She kept the Sabbath. It was important to her. Her actions then challenge us in all our difficulties that we might face throughout our week. We too must make the Sabbath important in our lives. We must be devoted to ensuring we keep the Sabbath. So what is it we mean by this, the Sabbath? The definition in the dictionary is a day of religious observance and abstinence from work. Is that right, though? I would argue this scripture shows it should be something more. So to better grasp the idea, let's look at our second protagonist, the synagogue leader. Now, he enters the tale just after Jesus heals the woman. And as a teacher of religious law, Jesus has seriously upset him. He says, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. You can imagine his voice, all strict and firm, like a teacher. There may be a head teacher. He then is not healing. He's not against the healing of the woman, to be clear. He's simply against the fact that it occurred on the Sabbath. For the elder, then, the Sabbath is a day of ritual and law, strict teachings and routine. It does not sound very uplifting. It sounds more like a day at school with double maths and physics. Now, I feel a little sorry for this chap, though. He is, after all, from his point of view, simply upholding the religious laws that everybody accepted at the time. The principle of this law that the teacher was referring to is founded on the Old Testament. It stems from Genesis, when God rested on the seventh day. But over the course of the preceding 1,500 years, the idea of the Sabbath was developed by the religious leaders of the time. It was legalized till it became very, very litigious. For instance, you must not carry a burden on a Sabbath. Now, you're probably thinking it might be a plank in London. But no, that's not the burden. In this case, being food equal in weight to that of a dried fig. Well, a dried fig is quite light. If you picked up a Mars bar this morning for breakfast, shame on you, for two reasons. One, you shouldn't have a Mars bar for breakfast, and D, it was too heavy, heavier than a fig. These rules then were pretty extreme, but they've been around for a long time, so you can see why he was so caught up in them. Jesus tells him off. He calls him a hypocrite. He shines a mirror on his behaviour and uses the same rules to show how ridiculous they were. He reminds them that the law allows them to care for their animals, to take them out for water, but that a woman should wait another day for healing. He shames the elders of the temple. Jesus is trying to cut through the ritual and legalistic idea of the Sabbath. So we too then must be wary of accepting the rituals of our Sabbath day, of sinking ourselves into the comfort of routine and mistaking that for worship. mistaking it for a real connection with God. It is easy to come to church for an hour on a Sunday and allow yourself to go through the steps. So what then should our Sabbath be? The third protagonist, Jesus, shows us. Jesus does not speak about it in the passage. He demonstrates it. In fact, he demonstrates it time and time again throughout the New Testament. Where is it we always seem to find Jesus? In a temple, teaching, discussing. Essentially, Jesus comes together in groups with others, teaching, praying, worshipping, taking time to rest and refresh himself. Jesus shows us our Sabbath time should be one of support for others, demonstrating God's love. We see in this scripture how powerful time spent together on the Sabbath can be. It heals us spiritually, mentally, even perhaps physically, like the crippled woman. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, "Let the message of Christ dwell amongst you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." I love that one. So the Sabbath requires us to seek it out, to be devoted to, making time for it, not to let it be a time of routine, but make it a dynamic, interactive activity. Our culture, society, though, is very different from that of the individuals in the scripture. We live in a society which has lost a lot of the natural rhythm of the week. Many work upon a Sunday. Families are often split, increasing the need for travel at the weekends to see parents or children. If our Sabbath is only on a Sunday, how do we then find our time for rest and renewal? 2 weekends ago, I worked 2 15-hour days, Saturday and Sunday. They were really difficult, really sad, horrible days. Lots of horrible, unpleasant things happened. And I had to draw really deeply on my faith to see myself through. And frankly, at the end of it, I was very much in need of some Sabbath time, some rest and renewal, refreshment of my spirit. But I'd missed my Sabbath. I'd worked the Sunday. So do I have to wait till the next Sunday? No. Because actually, I had a planning meeting for this very service on the Monday with the all-age team. And whether they realised it or not, I took renewal and refreshment in our time together. At that meeting, Lou Acton gave me a wonderful analogy, and I'd like to share it with you. Lou Acton, if you're not aware, is hockey crazy. I think the whole family probably is. And she likened our need to Sabbath, to experience the Sabbath, to this. If you play for a team and you miss a training session, it's okay. You'll still know the team order, know the plays, who everyone is. If you miss 2 sessions, you're still probably going to keep your spot on the first team because, you know, you've practiced before. So it's okay. But what if you missed 3 or 4 or 6? If you miss 6 training sessions, even if you practiced alone, will you still be good enough to remain in the first team? We need our Sabbath, not the rituals of an hour on Sunday, but a genuine regular connection, meeting with God amongst our peers, that we might provide and be provided spiritual support at church, on a Sunday, or at home group during the week, at Outlook, perhaps even just round a friend's house for coffee. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, "For where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." We need to be devoted, like the crippled woman, to finding our Sabbath. In our modern society, we perhaps also need to be aware that our Sabbath time does not necessarily need to be just a Sunday morning at church. When we find our Sabbath, we need to be mindful that it does not become an empty set of rules and rituals, like it did for the temple elder. And we need to show our love for one another in Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Saviour did that day at the temple. Let us respond in prayer. Lord, I pray that we would all ensure we seek out the Sabbath this week, that we might be devoted, like the crippled woman, to finding a time of rest and renewal, to praising and worshipping you, so that we might draw closer to God and closer within the family of Christ. Amen.